Thank you so much for tuning in. You're tuning in to Streams with Jonathan Ramos. This is Jonathan Ramos speaking. First of all, I just want to thank you all for the love and support that we have obtained through our podcast. I want to thank you for all those who have been sharing your podcast with a friend, family, or even a loved one. It shows that you care for them as we continually publish a podcast every week with wisdom, knowledge, and nuggets. I myself am a wisdom lover. I'm inclined to wisdom. The Bible says to seek wisdom. So I love wisdom. I love reading. Reading gives you wisdom. So I love it. So I do want to thank you guys so much for tuning in. I pray that you have been blessed as much as a loved one or those who you have shared this with have been blessed. I pray that they may continue to bless you. And today I just wanted to go ahead and go over and talk about a subject that's contradictory, right? Or a controversial subject, if you will. And the reason why it's controversial is because I want to touch on a subject on prosperity. As we started the year, and I pray that you guys are having a blessed year, we decided to start the year off with a short series called The Pursuit of Happiness. If you haven't tuned in, tune into it. Again, if you want to know more information about who we are and what we do, you can contact us on our website at jonathanramos.org. Where also our podcasts are being published through the website as well. Or you can subscribe to Apple iTunes, Pocket Cast, or even Spotify and Google Podcasts. So feel free to subscribe. We are posting every week wisdom and knowledge or nuggets to get you by the week. So today I just want to be a little controversial, not necessarily, but I wanted to talk about a subject that is very controversial to a lot of the Christian folks, and that is prosperity. And we're not talking about prosperity in essence of spirituality, but physicality, right? Yeah. If you were looking for to know prosperity in terms of spirituality, then you can go to our last podcast. Our podcast, we will explain about the spirituality aspect of prosperity and what it is, which is, of course, the most important one. This podcast, we want to go ahead and talk about the physicality part of prosperity. Yes, meaning owning homes, cars, having money into the account, being technically rich, right? And the reason why this is not yet average subject and controversial subject to the normal Christian nowadays is because one of two things. One is because of the abuse of those who have claimed that they follow Christ and have abused the people of God when it comes to the means of finances and prosperity. Or two, you definitely have individuals who literally believe that when you come to Christ, Christ loves when you do not prosper and are in a state of poverty. In fact, there's people out there who believe that being in a state of poverty is somewhat brings them into a place of holiness. And that is incorrect thinking. And I'm going to just be very honest with you. If you had a if your gospel promotes poverty in my life, and if your gospel is telling me that for me to become rich and prosperous when I die, then I don't want your gospel. I might as well just pretty much sleep with who I want to sleep with, fornicate with who I want to fornicate with, and do all kinds of nonsense and immoral things that are in the sight of God, and then repent right before I die, repent, ask God for forgiveness, and go to heaven and live a prosperous life, right? So the Bible does not promote, by no means, does not promote poverty or being poor, okay? In fact, God wants you to be prosperous, right? So if you want to prosper, then this is the podcast for you. Continue to listen as we discover prosperity, right? Because there's actually an important principle, and that's why people will think that God wants you to be living in poverty to be able to become holy, right? But there's a important principle that I'm going to share with you that has to do with a lot of the reason why you can't prosper in life and why you don't see multiplication, right? A lot of individuals will think, okay, prosperity, here we go again, a prosperity gospel minister. And they, most of them, about 95% of them talk in this type of way is out of a place of hurt, right? Or negligence, or they're just pretty much immature and don't know what the gospel really is, that they just attack what they don't know. So let's go ahead and get into this and dive right into this really quickly here. So if you want to prosper, no matter how intelligent or talented you are, if you don't have the ability to create wealth in life, you will always be average in life. And there's nothing wrong with being average. We need average folks in our life. This is, if you want to be average in life, then this is not the podcast to you. You can actually tune out and go to another podcast, because this is not the podcast for you if you want to be average in life. This is the podcast for those individuals who have made it a decision that they want to go above average in life. They don't want to be average in life. So this is definitely the podcast for you. Because again, like I stated, we're definitely touching subjects here that it's not for the average individual, right? The Bible says in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, it says, it is the Lord who gives the ability to make wealth. It doesn't say God gives you the ability to get by or survive or subsist. It doesn't say that God gives you the ability to live paycheck to paycheck and spend 10 hours a day, at a regular job and spend more hours at a job than you do with your own family and raising them up. The Bible doesn't say that God gives you the ability to get by and barely make it. The Bible says God has given you the ability to make wealth. Notice how it says make wealth, okay? So I like the expanded version personally, right? Because the expanded version, it says, it is the Lord who gives you the power to become rich, okay? So, if God gives you the power to become rich, then therefore, God is not against wealthiness or becoming rich in an aspect or essence of physicality. That means God himself is not against that, okay? Because if he gives you the power to become rich, or if he gives you the power to make wealth, then he's not against it. A lot of people will put, okay, well, Jesus was poor, right? And that is a complete misunderstanding, because I am going to actually break some paradigms off of you right now and tear some up. Jesus was not a poor man. He was actually a very, very well financially stable individual. And the reason why I say that is three reasons. The first reason is that Jesus himself had 12 disciples and grown men who were either business owners or had a full career that left whatever they were doing to follow Jesus. For them to leave whatever they were doing to follow Jesus, it meant that Jesus put them in some type of payroll. Not that they followed Jesus because of that. By no means am I saying that. But when you look at the logical thing is, I'm going to leave this job, but I'm going to still be financially stable. I'm going to have some type of income, right? So the fact that he had 12 grown men with him was that he put them on some type of payroll. Many will say, no, they followed him because they knew the significance of who he was, when the majority of the disciples did not know who Jesus was. They were actually struggling with his identity, and it piece by piece or little by little did the revelation come to them that they were the son, that he was the son of God, right? So immediately, not immediately that, oh yeah, this is the son of God and he came to save the world. Not immediately. Not all the disciples obtained the revelation, right? They either struggled with knowing who Jesus was, or they struggled with who Christ told them, or what Jesus said you are. They struggled with Jesus' Christ identity or their own identity, right? So when you look at that, he had 12 disciples that were grown men. So he had to put them on some type of payroll, right? So it can't be that Jesus is against riches. The second thing that I want to bring up is that when Jesus was crucified, the Roman soldiers were casting lots out of his garments, right? And for the Roman soldiers to cast lots out of his garments, meaning that they had some type of value that they wanted it, right? I've heard people say, no, they casted lots out of his garments because they knew the significance of who the Son of God was. Well, I would have believed it if they were Jewish folks who pretty much crucified him, but they wasn't. In fact, the ones who put him to be crucified, half of the Jewish people even mocked him because they didn't believe that he was the Son of God. So the individuals who crucified him didn't know the significance of who he was. So they didn't cast lots out of his garments out of knowing or out of significance or knowing the meaning or value of what those garments contained. The fact that they crucified him, mocking him, while he was on the crucifixion, pretty much tells me they had no revelation of who Jesus Christ was. So that tells me that his clothes have value. The third thing that I want to bring up, right, is that Jesus had one of his disciples, Judas, who was a lover of the money, and they had a disciple who was pretty much taking money. The Bible says he was taking money out the bag and no one took notice. So that means for him to take money out of the bag and nobody take notice, that means there was actually more money coming in than there was going out. And this is exactly why I want to talk about this important principle. Meaning, there was more money coming in than it was going out for nobody to take notice. Because I'm pretty sure that, especially with all the good technology we have in our age, that if you are missing 50 cents from your bank account, you are going to take notice. So for Judas to take out money, and we don't know how much it was taken out, but the Bible says he was a lover of the money, right? So for him to take out finances or take out money and nobody take notice pretty much proves to me that Jesus had more money coming in than it was going out, right? So that's why I wanted to touch base on this subject, because Jesus is not against the rich. He is not against you having wealthy. That is actually a wrong misconception that individuals have. And like I stated, if you need to be living in poverty to be holy, then I don't want your gospel. Not that being prosperous in essence of physicality is wrong. It's not wrong. In fact, the spiritual essence of prosperity is much more important, right? That goes far beyond anything. But the truth and reality is that money is not the root of all evil, like I've heard plenty of times in my life, right? Money is not the root of all evil. In fact, if you really want to know what someone's about and where their heart is at, give them money, right? Because the Bible says where your treasure is, so is your heart, right? So if you really want to know who someone is, what is someone about, and where their motive's at, just give them money and you'll see, right? Because money has a way of exposing an individual. So money's not bad. God wants you to prosper in life, right? So money is not a wrong thing, okay? So again, back into the Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, it says, the Lord who gives you the ability to make wealth. So many people say, oh no, but that verse, he was talking about the spirituality essence of wealthiness and riches? Well, if you look at the verses before that, which is verse 7 all the way down through 17, verse 7 says, "For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks, streams, and deep springs gushing into the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commandments," or commands, "his laws and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God. You may say to yourself, 'My power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me.'" And then that's when you have verse 18. So you see this. He is talking about material wealth, okay? So when you look at this, right, he gives you power. In fact, the word power there is the Hebrew word koah, which means to have control or have authority over, right? So when we look in the book of Genesis, okay, when we go to the book of Genesis chapter 1, we will understand some aspects regarding. So when we look at Genesis chapter 1 verse 28, it says that God blessed them and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion, have power, or have control over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." That's verse 28. When we go back to verse 26, it says that God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion," or "let them have power, let them have authority over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle of all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So when you look at this, right, the Bible says to be fruitful, multiply, right? It means to be productive. God has given you the power to be productive. In fact, when we look at fruitfulness, we're not talking, when he says, God said, "Be fruitful and multiply," he's not talking about necessarily in the essence of family, although that verse can be used for that. And again, the Bible is like a double-edged sword. He is actually talking, he's not talking about, oh yeah, having kids, and no. He is actually talking about being productive, okay? Because if he was talking about kids, then Abraham would have failed miserably because he have only had one. Technically, he had two, but one in the will of God. So he would have failed miserably. When God says be fruitful, right, he was talking about being productive, okay? Replenishes, subdue him. He said, let them have dominion. Let them have power, right? So when we look at productivity, sorry about that. When he says be fruitful, he's talking about being productive, a productive individual. When we look in the New Testament, there's a story in the New Testament where a woman with an expensive oil pours it upon Jesus' feet, and the Bible says that everybody turned around because of the smell of it and said, "Why do you waste this jar of oil or perfume?" The woman, one, we know back in the days to create oil and perfume was a very long, long process. It's not like now where we have machinery and technology, right? Back in the days was tough. So she had good, expensive perfume, right? Not only did she have good, expensive perfume that she poured it upon Jesus' feet, but when you look at it, she was very productive with it because it took her time to build, right? So when we look at that, and to give you a picture of it, that perfume or that oil that she poured was literally, in today's wage, would have been about $13,000 to $17,000 US. And she just threw it out that way. And they say, why are you wasting this? You could have given it. That's why they say you could have given it to the poor, right? In other words, you couldn't give it to the poor who are poor in a physicality part of it, right? They don't have houses, they don't have meals. And Jesus looks at them and said, the poor you will always have. And the word poor that he used there was unproductive folks. You will always have unproductive folks, but a productive folk you will not have long. So therefore, I love that story because she poured wages or everything she had into the feet of Jesus. That shows one of the important aspects that I want to bring, which is she knew how to manage, and it's the principle of management, right? She managed her finance, she managed everything she did, and when she saw the opportunity, she knew where to deposit that oil, right? So when we look at Genesis chapter 2, right, verse 4, the Bible says, let's go back to Genesis, we say, in Genesis chapter 2 verse 4, it says, this is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Verse 5, before any plant of the field was in the earth, and before any herb of the field had grown, for the Lord had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man till the ground. Some Bible versions literally say, because there was no man on the earth. So when we look at it, no rain that God allowed. God did not allow rain because he did not have man to work on the land. When we look at the word work, it is a Hebrew word where we come out with eragon. Eragon means management. And when you look at the definition of management, it means effective, efficient, timely use, the effective, efficient, of and timely use of product that belongs to someone else, okay? When you look at the definition of management, right, it is the use to produce an added value of something that belongs to someone else. So because there was no man to manage what God had put in the earth, he decided not to allow it multiply, because we know that the plants and the herbs of the field will become multiplied when you water it, right? God did not cause rain because he did not have no man to work the land, meaning manage the land. And it is to you to effectively use something that belongs to somebody else and add value to it. The reason why a lot of people don't prosper is because they don't know the principle of management. You see, you want a house, but God gives you a land. You see, you want fruits, but God hides them in the trees. You want gold, but God hides them in the mountains. Because he is looking for you to work and manage his resources to multiply. So therefore, again, this is not for the average individual in life, because a lot of people who wants the prosperity or become prosperous, they don't want to work or manage. So therefore, the principle of management is a neglected principle, and that's why people have a lot of misconception of prosperity. Because to work, eragon, manage what God has given you for the means of multiplication. Not everybody's willing to work. Again, I've seen it happen in my life where God literally will take a dollar in your bank account and make a thousand. God has given you the ability. He has given you the ability and authority to make riches, to make wealth. He has given you that ability, but he wants you to work or manage his resources. What I'm trying to say here is that God has deposited something called purpose. God has deposited something that you're good at, and he wants you to manage those resources for him to give you more. It is impossible that you cannot manage $100 and expect $100,000. If you do not manage your resources well, you cannot expect them to multiply. You have to be productive, and productivity is what leads to prosperity. You see, a lot of people don't like the gospel prosperity, because it means that they have to work, because they believe that God, when God wants to prosper you, he's going to go ahead and magically, I'll use the word magic to just irk some people, but he uses magically his $3,000 in your bank account when God requires you to work. There are two reasons why you don't prosper. One is because you have not managed what you have correctly, or two, God is trying to put you in a position where he is trying to deposit or trying to sprout up that what he has put in you, so you can come to know what he has called you to do. Unless it's a process that God put you in, and that's why you're not prospering, and he's teaching you a lesson. So the important thing of prospering is to know the principle of management. When you know to manage the materials God gives you, then you can be able to multiply. Then you can be able to have what we will call the more. All right. So God bless you guys. I pray that this blesses you. I pray that you learn, or you, in this week that comes up in the rest of this year, that you manage the resources that God has given you. You work for the resources he has given you, authority over his resources, and he expects you to manage them. God bless you, and have a wonderful day. Bye.